Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this opportunity to come and to worship you this morning and ask that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct our thoughts, that you might be glorified and that we might know you more. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet. On one side, it has some fill-in-the-blanks for sermon notes. On the other side, it has some weekly devotions. If you'd like to pull that out now and keep that handy. As we come to this final sermon on stewardship, it's based in part on a series by Dr. David Jeremiah called Giving to God. Did you hear about the young man from Canada who came through customs several times a week? He would come through customs and he would have two sandbags looped around his shoulders riding a bike. And he would come up to customs and, of course, the customs agents would be suspicious. What is in those sandbags you've got? And at times they would even have him empty out those sandbags, looking for some type of contraband that he was smuggling into the country. Even when he emptied the bags, they could never find anything that seemed inappropriate or wrong. One day, one of the custom agents ran into this young man at a restaurant, and he asked him what he'd been smuggling into the U.S. with the promise that he would not press charges. He said, bicycles. I've been smuggling in bicycles. It reminds me of how we speak of becoming or being a good steward of God. We oftentimes think of money. We're focused on those sandbags. It must be money when we're talking stewardship. But what stewardship encompasses is so much more, of which money is only a small part. Stewardship encompasses what we do with our time, our presence with God. What do we do with God-given abilities for God? What kind of witness do we give to God or for God at the church or for the kingdom of God? And then spending time in worship with God, that's a part of being a good steward on a regular basis, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. You see, the heart of stewardship encompasses knowing that God gives us everything we need, and we give back to God a part of that, about consecrating all we are to God and all we have to God. The heart of stewardship is knowing that we are sowing into the kingdom to reap a harvest. Using our gifts and our talents, our presence and our witness, we sow into the world so souls will come to Jesus and follow him and be in relationship with God. As we wrap up this series on stewardship or the heart of stewardship, there's one last concept we need to first consider, understand, and then embrace. And we note by embracing this last stewardship concept, we can become mighty people of God. We see it plainly during the time of Moses when God brought freedom to the Israelites by removing them from the captivity of Egypt that lasted about 400 years. First, God had a plan for the Israelites to build a tabernacle in the wilderness in which God would reside with his people. And in the tabernacle was a holy place and the Holy of Holies, upon which God would sit upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And the goal for God was to be present with his people. God directed them by a pillar of fire during the day and a pillar of smoke during the night, day, and a pillar of fire during the day, night. What's during the day? What's during the night?
Fire.
Okay, thank you. Again, the goal was to be present with the Israelites. And when they stopped traveling, God would reside in the Holy of Holies upon the mercy seat. So God desired to be with his people, and the tabernacle they built would be that place, that holy place for God. And the question I have to ask is, where are these people who have been enslaved for 400 years going to get the materials? These precious stones and precious metals. And we have to remember that God had a plan. God had a plan. When God first spoke to Moses about this plan, it was at a burning bush in the wilderness, and he told Moses what he was going to do. That Moses would go to free the Israelites, which he didn't want to do. That Moses would go lead the people to freedom, which he didn't feel equipped to do. And that he would help them connect to their God, which he didn't feel holy enough to do. Oftentimes we feel the same way as Moses, not wanting to do, not feeling equipped to do, not feeling holy enough to do the work of God. And then God said to Moses at the bush, "And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go away empty-handed." In fact, read the rest with me. "Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians." And so after the 10th plague encountered Egypt, Pharaoh told Moses to leave. The Egyptians were eager and urged them to go. And so among the things that they left with, Moses told the people to ask the Egyptian owners for articles of silver and gold and clothing. And the Egyptians gave them these articles, and thus the Egyptians were plundered. Now, as the Israelites are now sitting at the base of Mount Sinai, where God has just given them the Ten Commandments and has just given Moses instructions on building this tabernacle, we see that everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, that everyone who is willing to bring these things are to bring them. It's a free will offering. It's what the people decide to do. And after listing the articles, Moses went on to say this. Read it with me. "All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded." And then continues to list all of these items that are to be gathered and made for the tabernacle, this house of God. But again, all who are skilled among you. As stewards, God gives us skills, abilities. And God has a plan for us to use those. So I've got some question. One, who is the tabernacle for? Say it out loud. God, right? Who is to reside there in the tabernacle to be near his people? Okay. Who provided the materials for the tabernacle? God. Who provided the skill for the people to make the tabernacle? God. You see, we have to note that God was responsible for everything. Everything that was needed to make what God wanted to be made. God was responsible. God provided. More questions. Who asked the Egyptians for their silver, gold, and clothing? The Israelites. Say that. The Israelites. Who gave the offering of silver, gold, and other stuff to God? The Israelites. Who made the tabernacle for God using their time and their talents? The Israelites. So do you sense that when God wants something to happen, God will provide the resources for it to happen? Do you see that? Yes, Pastor. And do you understand that there is only one reason in which the tabernacle would have not been built? Do you know that there's only one reason? And we're not talking on God's side of the equation. The people of God needed to respond to God and use what God had already given them. to build the tabernacle. Understand, God may give you something to use. But note that God is dependent on his people to act and use. God is dependent upon you to act and use the resources that he has already provided. If God asks you to do something, God will provide everything you need to do it. In 1836, a small township was formed for a fledgling community not located to any industrial anything. The basis for the community was farming the vast lands around it. And in 1842, the village began to grow with the arrival of two brothers, Robert D. and Chauncey L. Krause. You know what the village is, right? Heartland. It was only a few years earlier that a circuit rider added Heartland Village to his circuit, in which the gospel of Jesus Christ began to be shared on a regular basis here in Heartland. Eventually, they raised a building and called it the Heartland Methodist Church. Did you know in its early years, over 200 people would gather each Sunday to attend and glorify God in this sanctuary? I cannot imagine the number of people through the years who came and walked down aisles and gave their heart to the Lord or committed themselves to God over and over again. Can you imagine the number of people in those 160 some odd years coming and worshiping God, giving their heart to God? Do you think God wanted a place in Heartland for people to worship on Sunday mornings? Yes. Do you think God provided through the willingness of God's people offerings for a church to be built? Yes. Do you think God provided preachers through the 164 years of this church's existence to preach the good news of Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you think God wants to continue to provide this place where people can continue to meet him, to give their lives to him, and to regularly worship him? Yes. Do you think God wants to use you to do this here?
Yes.
I believe God continues to provide through his faithful people who give of themselves to the Lord a place where others can come to know, love, and serve him. God continues to provide through his faithful people. That's you. This journey we all share together, the young and the old, those new to the faith and those seasoned in their faith, those who have gone on before us and those who are yet to come. God is dependent upon us. And as God moved in the time of Moses, God continues to move in the lives of people today. People who were willing to yield themselves, their time, their treasures, their presence, and their witness to the glory of God. And ultimately, we have to note that God provides all we need to do and to be all that God wants us to do and wants us to be, if we just allow. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave up all that made him God, everything that made him God, and put on flesh and walked once again since the time of Adam and Eve with his created beings. Jesus taught the disciples and us today all that we need to know. Jesus showed the compassion and grace that he has for people, and it's that compassion and grace that he wants us to use for all people. Jesus demonstrated his mercy on those who turned to him and judgment on those who refused him. And then the ultimate act of love died so that all people, those who accepted him and those who rejected him, might have an opportunity for eternal life in heaven with him. On this Pentecost Sunday, we recognize too how God provided a new way to come to him. Not through the law of Moses, but through a person. God sent his son Jesus to be that new way so that by what? By faith, we might be in relationship with God the Father. So that by faith we might receive God, the Holy Spirit. And that by faith we might be empowered to do and to act in Jesus' name, to be the people of God here in this area. Friends, God provides not just the resources, but He gives us His Spirit. He gives us the power. The power so that we might ultimately become great stewards for God. To help others to know Jesus, to find friendship with God, to enter into heaven's eternity with God. I remember when I was working as a programmer at Ford, when a project came up, they would have to find resources to do that project. People resources, both on the business side and the computing side. Resources to make that project come to fruition. But really, it's the same in any business. For a project to be completed, you need to find the resources, the right resources, in order for that project to be completed. At home, it might be questions of who will do the work, who will provide the funds, who will make it happen. In everything we do, we need resources. And we also need willing people. And God says, I've got the ultimate project. God says, I want you, my people, who are called by my name, to go out into all the world and tell the good news of my son, Jesus Christ. I want you people who are called by my name to go out into the world and be a witness for me to those who don't know me. I want you who are my people who are called by my name to go out and share what I'm doing in your life so that others may want to know me too. God says, this is the project that I've got. I've got all of these resources. Now I need you in order to do it. And on this Pentecost Sunday, God reminds us of the gift given to all who would believe in Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. The most powerful gift, the most precious gift. Well, read it with me. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the fire of God, resides in all who believe. Why, I believe that's you, right?
Yes.
If you believe, you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. You have the power of God residing in you. Isn't that blow your mind? It does mine. But it blows my mind to think that God has given me the power to do everything He requires me to do. From the time of Moses, really from the time of Adam and Eve, God has provided what we need. But as we know with Adam and Eve, as we saw with Moses and the Israelites, as we've seen here even in Heartland, God needs those who are willing to be good stewards. Willing to yield themselves first and foremost to God's will. And then use their time, their ability, their finances, and their witness to God. To use whatever God has provided you with to glorify God in your life. To lead others to God. To tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to note that from the beginning of the Bible until the end, God uses those who are willing. Uses those who are willing to be used. I wonder, are you one of those kind of Christians? The kind that's willing to be used by God? Because I can tell you, there are a lot of Christians who would say, God, I can do this much. Even if you want me to do this much. See, this is where faith comes in. Remember that word, faith? Believing that God has provided everything you need to do. Maybe it's the words you need to say or the witness you need to give. I've never done that before, Lord. How could you ask me to do such a thing? Right? But God says, I will give you the words. Now, if we're really honest, this is one of those honest moments. It takes practice. God will use every word you utter to glorify Him, but it takes practice. As disciples, we learn from the teacher, right? And the teacher says, now go and practice that, right? 2 plus 2 is 4. You have to work on your arithmetic to get better at it. God gives us the power, but we have to use that power. We have to work with that power. What amazes me is how Jesus did such great things in the kingdom of God. Ready? But in and of himself, he was only human. Right? Remember I said earlier, Jesus gave up everything that made him God to come down and put on human flesh to walk with us? He gave up everything. He had no godly power as he left it in heaven when he came down. And he only began doing miracles after. Well, do you remember? Do you remember when, what caused Jesus to be able to begin to do the miracles? Ready? The Holy Spirit came down on him in his baptism at the Jordan River. And it was after that he starts doing miracles, turning water into wine, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. It was only after he received the Holy Spirit that he performed any miracle. Ready to blow your mind? You've got the same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that resided in Christ that gave him the power to do all of these miracles resides in you now. Does that blow your mind? Right? And as I read through the Gospels, it is only when Jesus breathes on the disciples, the Holy Spirit, that they go out and heal the sick and powerfully teach in His name. Same Holy Spirit you've got. And when Peter finally, permanently receives the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and preaches, 3,000 people come to the Lord on that day. The church is born. Lives are transformed. Ready to blow your mind again? Same Holy Spirit that Jesus has now resides in you. Ready? You can go out and do the same things. Wow. Blow your mind. You can say things that will help people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You can say prayers that might heal people, not only of physical ailments, but of emotional ailments. Doesn't that blow your mind? It does me. It blows my mind when I think that the Holy Spirit who gave Jesus the power to do everything he said, to do everything he said and to say everything he said, you plus the Holy Spirit are a powerful and unstoppable force. Do you believe that? Say amen. Oh, I don't know that you believe it. You plus the Holy Spirit are an unstoppable and powerful force. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Friends, don't doubt that God has already provided what you need to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Don't ever doubt it. Because it's not true. You have received everything you need to make a difference in the kingdom of God. In your sermon notes, at the very bottom, I've given you space to list what God has provided to you so that you can make a difference in the kingdom of God. As good stewards, God has provided everything you need. We already know the answer to the first one. God has provided what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And what I want you to do is I want you to take some time today. Maybe it's during the offering. Maybe it's when you get home. And I want you to start thinking about what has God given me that I can use to glorify His name? What abilities? What about your presence? What about your time? What about your finances? What about your witness? What has God given to you that you can use to glorify His name? And then be thankful. Be thankful for what God has given you. And then go and use it. Right? Go and use it. We don't want to be one of those types of Christians who don't use the power of the Holy Spirit, do we? Do we? No, Pastor. Life is a journey. Life is a journey to know God the Father. Life is a journey to know Jesus Christ the Son. Life is a journey to know the Holy Spirit that will direct and guide you, that you will trust to lead you into all things that God wants you to do. Do you believe that God wants to use you? Do you believe that God wants to use you?
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe that God can use you?
Yes.
See the difference? God wants to use you, sure. Do you believe God can use you? Absolutely yes. Absolutely. Don't just believe. Go and do. Or continue to do all of these things that God has given you to do in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to use willing people. You have to be willing. And then you have to allow God to work through you. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you and ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to walk with you. Like Jesus walked and relied on the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to also walk as Jesus did and to rely on your Holy Spirit to empower us to do the work that you have called us to do in the place that you have called us to be. Whether it's at work, at home, whether it's on the ball field playing, whether it's in the quietness of our own moments, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, help us to walk with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said,